I really like hearing the stories of how people come to the faith, how they come to the church, and what are the reasons why, for instance, they'll take instructions to become Catholic or to come back to their faith. You know, the Rite of Christian Initiation for Adults, or the RCIA, it's always a fascinating group of people because you never know who's going to show up. It's always by the grace of God. And usually there's quite a mix of different people, different backgrounds, and certainly different stories or journeys through, as what one author called, the 100 gates that come to Christ. One young man, one time, was raised with really nothing. He was from a mixed background, Asian and white, and he was at university, and he was absolutely militantly atheist. He said, I was militantly anti-everything. He said, it didn't matter. And he said he was in this residence, and he would keep arguing with all these guys who were people of faith. And he always thought, I always got it, you know, I always won, I always succeeded. But he never felt right. And he said he started to try to read more so he could understand how he could just demolish their arguments. How like a 19-year-old, eh? So he was just going to do that, and he read himself into the church. That's how he did it. He read one book after another, and he read himself into the church. He said, you know, isn't it surprising that the Lord could use my obstinacy, my militancy, and to be able to truly reach into my ignorance, into my darkness, and to draw me out of that darkness? The same is true for all of us, you know. Today we celebrate the Feast of the Epiphany, the showing forth of the light of God, the revelation of the light of God. It wasn't by our own actions that we were coming to be able to know and to seek God, but God sought us first. Here we are still in the Christmas season, and God seeks us always, and he acts upon whatever we are. He acts upon our heart. He acts upon our mind. So we have these wise men about whom we know nothing. We have lots of small t traditions that tell us that two were Caucasian and one was darker skinned. We have different names that are given them, etc., etc. There's been all kinds of stories written about them, but really, that's it. What you heard in the gospel here is all we know about the Magi or the wise men, the three kings from the east, as we sing of in the Christmas carol. But we know one thing. We know they were wise. And we know that they were looking, they were seeking. Isn't it our Lord himself who said at a later date, seek and knock and you will find, and the door will be open to you? And so they were seeking. What were they seeking if not something that was just beyond their reach? They were looking for something that would fulfill not just their minds, but their hearts as well. They were yearning to be able to know the fullness of wisdom. And all of us are called to know the fullness of wisdom. We were all confirmed, or a good majority of us, and when we're confirmed, we're given those gifts of wisdom and knowledge and understanding and counsel, among others. But we seek wisdom, and we seek to know what is the point and the purpose of the knowledge that we're given in life. What is the purpose and the meaning of life? So for ourselves, it's not surprising that we would ascribe that same yearning to the wise men. And when they were seeking, they sought information from everywhere, even the most unlikely of sources. Because, boy, was Herod unlikely. Don't forget, Herod was the ruler of the Jews, and he didn't even know the prophecies, right? Every Jew would know these prophecies, but he didn't even know those prophecies. Yeah, pretty unlikely, and pretty dangerous, too, obviously. We know the rest of the story, that after the wise men go home, that Herod, consumed with rage, went out and had every boy child under two murdered in that whole area. So it was dangerous, but they sought it even there. And they went and they searched in a different way, following a star. When I see people who search in all kinds of different ways, I say, isn't it remarkable that God will care for us so deeply and so uniquely that he will have something for each and every one of us to guide us to himself if we but lift up our eyes and are able to look and to follow. And when they knew then that the star stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy, and so too were the shepherds. When the shepherds came, they were overwhelmed with joy. And everyone had the same reaction, to kneel down in wonderment and amazement. But there was something else, eh, that the wise men brought. They brought their own gifts, the gold, the frankincense, the myrrh, that in itself was a fulfillment of the prophecy that we heard Larry read in the first reading. And in that fulfillment, it's the idea that we bring all of our own gifts. And what those gifts are, I don't know, but you know. And those gifts, I think, are even more remarkable because they are to reach out to other people as well. You know, we sit in this church and we can look around in the church lots of times and we sort of take things for granted. But the wise men didn't know that they were going to be brought out from all the other wise men and all these other cultures or countries to have a particular role. And neither did the apostles. When you think of it, the apostles, when they were called by Jesus, didn't know how they were going to end up. Underneath each of those pictures of the apostles are normally the way that they died, the instruments of their martyrdom. You see axes and you see arrows and lances, etc., etc. They didn't know that when they answered Jesus' call. And they sure didn't know that they were going to be sent out to all the other places. Because when the wise men came and when they worshipped, then they went back, and they went back by another way because their lives had been changed. And when we answer the call of Jesus, when we answer that call, however it comes forth, when we truly will have our heart set on him, your lives are going to be changed and you'll go back by another way. It isn't as if, you know, we're called to stay there in wonderment and amazement. Here at Mass, we come and we're given that small, tiny glimpse of heaven, but then we're sent out. We're sent out by another way. Not by the way of the world, but by the way of the Lord himself. And we're sent out not to be silent, but to speak. Just like the shepherds, when the shepherds saw what they saw there at the manger in Bethlehem, they went back, and they went back glorifying and praising God for all that they had seen and heard. And I think the wise men did the same thing. They went back speaking about this astonishing event that happened in a far-off country. And people must have shaken their heads. But who knows how they themselves, by that proclamation of the word, prepared people to receive the fuller proclamation when Jesus came among his people that we'll celebrate next week. And so too these apostles, you know, they were sent to all the corners of the world, as it was known at that time. St. Thomas, tradition tells us, even ended up in southern India. And certainly the Catholics there claim that he was the apostle that planted the faith there. But they went to Armenia, to Spain, to Rome, etc. And so too you go out. And you go out by a different way. And you go to all those parts of the world in which you are called to be able to live and to proclaim. And to proclaim what? To proclaim that the Lord has come among us. And that it isn't necessary to be in darkness. I don't have to tell you the darkness of the world or the darkness of people's hearts. Because there's a darkness wherever the light of God is not able to shine. But if we are willing to be able to proclaim, if we're willing to be able to share that great gift, that gift of joy and the gift of the presence and the power and the knowledge of Jesus Christ, the darkness cannot withstand it, as we heard in the first of the Gospel of John. And that darkness will be such that it will be pushed back so that all will be able to know the light of God, so that all will be able to bring their gifts, so that all will be able to participate in the showing forth of the Lord Jesus. Now we're here in the year of mercy. And you're going to hear a lot about different works of mercy in all of this year proclaimed by Pope Francis. But one of those gifts is to instruct the ignorant. We don't use that in a derogatory way. We mean to instruct those people who don't yet know, but their hearts too are ready to be open to the power of God. Their minds too are open to be illumined by the grace and the wisdom of the Lord. If we are willing to speak, to witness, to see, and to call them too along a different way.